5. I haven't got any notes for you this morning because I haven't written any. If you'd like some notes, please feel free to write them yourself. Okay, so here's the big question. Who do you serve? Whose slave are you? Whose servant are you? Don't shout out. In this passage, we've got three possibilities, which turns out really to be two in the end. But possibility number one, let's read it from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision mean anything, but faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross has been abolished. I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves, for you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Okay, whose slave are you? Number one, are you a slave to the law? This was about circumcision. It's probably not crossed your mind that you should get circumcised. And you might think that this doesn't apply to you, but it does. Because this is all about keeping the law to keep right with God. What's your motivation? Do you want to be right with God? People will say, yes, I want to be right with God. I don't want God to be in a bad mood with me. But how do you keep right with God? Well, we keep the law. We keep the law. We do everything that's good. You know, if I do enough good things, it will outweigh all the bad things that I've done. And hopefully, God will let me in at the end. We hear that so many times when we talk to people who've been to church all their lives, doing the best to be the best that they can be, not doing anybody any harm. And yet, all they can say is, well, I hope he'll let me in. Do you know, we can be sure. We can be absolutely sure of our salvation. And it's not through our works. The problem with our works is that we're in control of them. And that's the attraction for us as well. You see, I can decide that I'm going to do a good thing. And I can decide, therefore, that, well, in this case it was circumcision. So if I decide to get circumcised, then I am obeying the law, and therefore, great stuff. I'm in with God. But let's take it away from circumcision. I can decide that if I turn up to church on a Sunday morning, then I'm in with God. That's it. I'm in. He'll probably let me into heaven because I'm in church. Or it could be, well, as long as I don't do anybody any harm, I'll be in with God, because that's righteousness, that's good. And the problem is, we're defining what the righteousness is and excluding the bits that we don't really want to give up. Because there's things in our lives from our old nature of sin that we actually like doing because of our sinful nature. And if it's up to us to decide what's right to do, then we can also decide we'll not make that wrong thing one of those things that we include. So we might say, do you know, I'm going to turn up for church every week. Every week. I mean, even the weeks when it's raining and the pastor's away. I'm even going to turn up that week. And I'll be in with God. But I really like gossiping, so I'm not going to include that in the righteousness thing. I'm going to keep the gossip because, oh, I love to talk about people. And I've made the law what I want the law to be. And this is what they were doing. They said, right, circumcision. Do you know, you can do circumcision. It's a one-time thing. And once it's done, it's done. Really easy. And you'll feel righteous after it. Oh, you will. A bit sore, but righteous. But then Paul points out, you know, if you're going to go off the law, if that is going to be your basis, you're going to have to keep all of it. Absolutely all of it. Because the law is like a pane of glass. If you break one part of it, the pane of glass is broken. And if you break one part of the law, it's all broken. So we can't make up what we want to be the law. And we can't just keep the bits that we want to keep. We have to keep all the bits. And it's hard work, that. And we can't do it. And that's why, in the Old Testament, God gave us a sacrificial system so that we could atone for our sins, because there's no way we could keep all the law. And even that wasn't sufficient. And that's why Jesus was sent to give us a new covenant, not based on the law. You see, when we decide that we want to make good the thing that we like doing and bad the thing that we don't like doing, or we decide that this is sin, but that's really not so bad because I like doing that, we actually make ourselves into God, because we put our opinion and what we decide above what God has already said. And then we think that will put us right with God, supplanting him. Do you know, it doesn't. So, are you a slave to the law? If you are a slave to the law, if you're really struggling to keep the law or the bits of the law that you like, just stop. Jesus came as our atoning sacrifice. He bore our sins on the cross. All of your sins on the cross. The ones, all of them. The ones you enjoyed, the ones you did by accident, he atoned. He made them, he paid the price so that you would be at one with God again. Put your trust in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. We think of that as a one-time deal, but if we trust Jesus all through our lives, we will have that ongoing salvation. You see, salvation isn't just a word that means I'm saved from a consequence of sin. Salvation is actually a much bigger word that has in it all kinds of healing and redemption. And we can have that all through our lives through living a life of putting our trust in Jesus. Now, I'm going to continue reading from Galatians because there's other things that we can be a slave to. Verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. It was a desire of the flesh to be circumcised because it put them in charge of, you know, what sin was. What righteousness could be. I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Whose slave are you? Two things there. There's the Spirit and there's the flesh. The Spirit, you'll notice in your Bible, it's got a capital S on it. That means it's the Holy Spirit. And what's the flesh? The flesh is that inwardness of you, that inward desire of you. Your body is a desire to be pleased and satisfied, and also your soul as well, because it's the things, it's your mind, it's your emotions, it's your thoughts. So, we can either walk by the Spirit or we can walk by the flesh. Have you ever tried walking but leaving a really big space in between walking? Like you sort of take one step and then you sort of leave it for like a good 48 hours and then sort of take another step. And then say leave it for 8 hours, take another step. Would you call that a walk? You wouldn't really, would you? Well, this is talking about a walk. So this is a constant walk, a constant theme of your life. It will be either the Spirit that leads you, or it will be your flesh that leads you. Now, there's a great big list of sins here, isn't there? And you think, do you know, I think I may have done one or two of those, even after getting saved. Immorality. Now, they're mostly the sexual sins. Impurity. Sensuality. Has anybody ever overindulged themselves? Yes, I know, Peter. Yes, we have, haven't we? And sometimes we do. Do we do it every single day? Well, don't answer that, Peter. Do we do that every single day? Is our lifestyle, is it, if people look at us, will they say, that is an overindulgent person, because they just take everything to the nth degree. They're just all about fulfilling their own desires. It could be food. We like that, don't we? It could be your favourite TV programmes. You overindulge on your favourite TV programmes. You can overindulge on pretty much anything that you desire. You may have done that. You may have done it today. You may have done it this week. Is it a way of life? Let's carry on. Idolatry. Well, you probably think, you know, I've not set up any idols in the house recently. Not bowed any to any of the idols, you know. But what have you set up that's higher than God? What have you decided to do instead of doing the thing that you're going to do for God? Because anything that you set above God, it becomes an idol. Did you not go to the meeting that you really knew that you should go to because that TV program was on that you really liked watching? Or that they were having a special two-for-one night at the pub down the road. Sorcery. You know, the word sorcery is interesting, this. The word sorcery is a word that, it's pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. You know what word we get from that? Pharmacy. It was, I don't know what that was. It was a word for that they used for drugs. But drugs that were used to change the mind, alter the mind. And they were used in witchcraft and in things like that. Maybe you've had difficulty with substances. And it can become a way of life, that, can't it? Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy. Enmities, strife and jealousy, they're all relational things, aren't they? Enmities, where you're at odds with people all the time. Strife. Where you're fighting against people. We just can't get on. Jealousy. Ooh. How can they do that? How can they have that? How can God have blessed them with that and not blessed me with that? How come they do that in the church and I don't do that in the church? How come? It's not, oh, it's so unfair. We can live a life like that. We can have occasions of it. We can have occasions of all these sins. We can accidentally or occasionally slip up, can't we, and do things. We can occasionally have an outburst of anger. Do you know, it took me 7.5 hours to get back from Longleat on Friday. If I had had a guided missile system on my car, there would have been some more disruption on the roads. Because there were some very bad drivers. And I was cut up left, right and centre. And I could very easily have, you know, it says in the Bible that if you have an angry thought towards somebody, it's like murdering them. Jesus said that. Well, I think I murdered a few people on the way home from Longleat. And it's wrong, isn't it? But I don't do it all the time, and it's very rare. So it's not a walk, because, you know, if I do that, and then it's like, give it a week and then I take another step. You can't call it a walk, can you? No. If I do it every day, and I'm always thinking, fire myself. Then it's a walk. And we can have a walk of sin in our lives, and we can have occasions when we sin in our lives. And you know, we all have occasions of sin in our lives because we're still not perfect. God sees us as perfect because of the righteousness of Jesus. But we're not perfect because we still do things wrong. We still have flesh. If you sat here and you can do this, you've got flesh. And because you can do that means that you've got a mind, because you just sit there. You've got a mind and a will because you decided to do that. And you've got emotions as well because you think, oh, I feel so good because I'm so full. Right. Where was I? Oh, yes. The thing about the walk of the flesh is that it can never lead us to God. It will always separate us from God. Envying, drunkenness. Well, they're obvious ones, aren't they? Drunkenness and envying and carousing. You always see those sinful people do it. But have you ever had a little bit too much to drink? You didn't really mean to have a bit too much to drink. But you did, and you got a bit tipsy. Do you think God can forgive you for that? Of course he can. Does it mean that if you got drunk one evening because you had one too many glasses of wine with your meal, does God abandon you? Have you started, is it a walk? Or was it just a stumble. Most of you are good Christians, aren't you? And these things, while they do appear in your life, then they're not denoting a walk, because it's not your way of life. So don't feel utterly condemned that you've sinned, because we all do. There is forgiveness there, but there's also help there. God has given us help, because there's an alternative to walking by the flesh, and it's called walking by the Spirit. How can we walk by the Spirit? You can't even see the Spirit, can you? How can we walk by it? It's like, I walk by faith and not by sight. And fall down a hole. There's a couple of things we can do. We can walk by what the Spirit has inspired to be in here. We know what the Word says, don't we? But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. You know those people who were doing it by the law? Who were living by the law? Well, they were looking at what it said in here. But they were doing it the way they wanted to do it. They weren't doing it the way the Spirit said do it. So, we need to read the Word, and we need to read the Word in context for it to tell us how to live our lives, and it gives us great wisdom. And when we do live our lives like the way it says in here, connected to the Holy Spirit. You know, if you've received Jesus into your life, you've received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes one with your spirit. How about that? Two things that you can't see become one thing that you can't see. And one of them is God. And it's inside of you. And he's given to us as a helper, as a guide, one who will lead us into all truth. And it's the all-powerful God who created the universe inside of you. Do you think he can help you? Do you think he can? Do you think he's got that capability? The all-powerful God who created the universe, do you think he could help you? You know he can. And when we walk in that way, instead of us having to strain to do the right thing, strain to do the right thing, to obey the law and keep all the commandments, which is just, it's just impossible to do by our sheer will of thought and power. Because we're connected to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we get this, it just oozes out of us. And it's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit just grows on a tree, doesn't it? Have you ever seen an apple on a tree? Did the apple seem to be straining to get out there? Was it like, I'm going to be an apple? Or did it just grow? Did the tree seem to be like, tensing itself, squeezing? Or did the apple just grow? It just grew naturally, didn't it? Because it was connected to the branch. And all the things it needed came up the branch and into the apple. And it's like that with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We walk by the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit for guidance in life, reading the Word, find it what it says in the Word. And we find that instead of straining to do what is right and what is good, it just comes out naturally because the Holy Spirit's inside of us. And his fruit just
comes out and we just can't help it. We can't help having patience and peace and love and joy and kindness and gentleness and self-control, because they come from being connected to him and following what he says. When we do God's will in our life, we have peace. There's no turmoil. There's no fighting against God and fighting against the world. There's none of that. When we're doing God's will, we just have peace. Peace inside, even though there may be turmoil all around us. It could be like there's a storm going on all around me, and I'm just stood there like in the eye of the storm, and there's just peace. Because my peace is based on my relationship with God, connected to the Holy Spirit. And you can have that in the midst of all kinds of emotional turmoil in the family, at work, wherever you are. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. Joy is a contentedness inside of you. That doesn't depend on anything on the outside. Happiness depends on everything on the outside, because some happiness depends on what happens. If something good happens, you win the lottery, happy. You lose all your money, not happy, sad again. You have a lovely day? Happy. Stub your toe on the way home? Not happy again. Have a good day at school? Happy. Get detention? Oh, not happy. Joy is all the time. And it comes from the Holy Spirit. Can't say why, can't say how, can't say we have that peace. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't really, does it? Does it make sense? Why would we have peace and nobody else has peace? Why would we have joy and nobody else has joy? Why would we be good and kind and patient, self-controlled and gentle, when nobody else seems to be? I mean, what's the difference? Outwardly, we look like everybody else, same arms and legs, same situations in life. I mean, we lose people. People, members of our family die, friends. People get upset with us. We all have to go to work the same as everybody else. We all have to go through school the same as everybody else. We all essentially live in the same circumstances, but why are we different to them? Why do we have joy and peace and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because we're one with the Holy Spirit, and if we walk, listening to him, the way he guides us, then we have all these things. And it's natural. And I can't explain it, but you get it. You just get it. It's there. It just comes out of you naturally, because you're one with the Holy Spirit. I really recommend it, but if you want to analyze it, it's all invisible. So, walk. Are you going to walk by the Spirit, or are you going to walk by the flesh? And it is really a walk. It's all about your consistent actions. Well, it talked about all those sins, the immorality, impurity, enmities and strife and drunkenness and all those. It says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And practice is a word that means consistently do as a way of life. That's what practice means. We tend to use the word now as a word that means have a go before you do your proper go. But that's not the word. Practice is more like a doctor's practice. A doctor's practice is a practice where he doctors. He does the medicine. And that's his way of life. And this is our way of life. We either walk one way, or we walk the other. It does require effort, though. It does require effort. But we get a lot of help. Now, I read to the end of chapter 5, but you know what? It doesn't finish at chapter 5. It actually carries on into chapter 6. Because having said all that about the Holy Spirit and said all that about walking out of the flesh, we need to know that we've got help. So, chapter 6. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, just a moment. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, right, now that's somebody who's had a stumble, isn't it? Yeah? Anybody is caught, you find somebody who's slipped. You who are spiritual, who are they? People who are walking by the Spirit. Restore such a one. Does he not say tell them off? Give them a good smiting on behalf of God. No, it says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, thinking, do you know what? I don't do things right every time, and that could have been me. Looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Help each other. When people are having difficulties like this, they do stumble, and we'll stumble as well, then we have everyone around us to help us, those who are Christians. You are God's gift to the church. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm God's gift to you. And you are. You're God's gift to each other, to help each other, to restore each other. Why do you think God put us in a church? Why can't we just get saved and like just stay at home? Or go playing golf like Pastor Steve likes? Why can't we just read the Bible at home? You know, why can't we? Or just go wandering amongst the trees, one with nature, thinking happy thoughts by ourselves. Because God made us to be with each other, to help each other. Because we are going to go through all kinds of problems in our lives. Because everybody does. But not everybody has the Holy Spirit. And not everybody has each other like we do. And we're here not to condemn each other or to have strife with each other or to gossip about each other. We are here to restore each other in gentleness. And that's been lost so much in the church, hasn't it? Thank you.
Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Is it do? Don't do not. No, the law of Christ is this. Love one another as I have loved you. That was the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. You see, we're on the same thoughts. So are you going to sow to the flesh? Sowing to the flesh is putting yourself in the circumstances where the flesh will be fed. So, it would be, if you've got an alcohol problem, sowing to the flesh for that would be having lots of bottles alcohol in the house, or going to the pub every day. That would feed that sin. That would be sowing to the flesh. If you've got an issue with lust, then it would be watching the wrong kind of programs on the TV or on the internet or going to the wrong places in Amsterdam. Don't fool yourself that you're going to walk around the red light district piously if you have a lust problem and you've deliberately gone there. That is sowing to the flesh. If you have an issue about talking about other people behind the backs, then put yourself in that position where you're always with the other people who like talking about other people behind the backs, then do you know what? There's a high likeliness that you're going to talk about other people behind the backs if you go chatting to those people. So just don't do it. You can sow to the flesh, or you can sow to the Spirit. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Corruption, that's the same word that they use for rotting corpses, corruption. So that's lovely. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now that sounds a lot nicer. From the Spirit reap eternal life. You can sow good things reading your word. It's a good thing. Finding out what the Spirit says through the Word. He inspired it all. Coming to really good services where the teacher is, the preacher is teaching you the Word. That's a really good thing. Worshipping God. Being in praise and worship. Prayer. Spending time with God, just talking to Him and listening to Him. Sowing to the Spirit, and it reaps eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Let us not lose heart. That seems to suggest that you could lose heart in doing good. If he's saying don't do it, don't lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Sometimes you can be doing good, and be doing good, and be doing good, and doing the right thing, and nobody appreciates it. Nobody appreciates it. Nobody says thank you.
Nobody pats you on the back. In fact, you might even get in the neck off people because you're doing it. Have you ever done that? You've been doing good and doing good and doing good, and then people just hate you for it. Because when you're good and they're not good, there's a contrast. And it makes them look bad. So they don't always, you're not always appreciated for doing good. But we don't do it for them, we do it for God. Because he tells us to love one another. And love has all kinds of fruit attached. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. That's you. So, who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the flesh? Whether it be making up, trying to follow the rules, or decide which rules are good for you and follow them, ignore the other ones, or follow the desires of your flesh and walk that way, reap corruption, or are you going to walk by the Spirit? You choose. It's a walk. It's an everyday thing, all your life. We were saved to live a life with God. And that life here on earth is walking by the Spirit. We can do it, and we can have all kinds of great things in our lives. Joy, peace, gentleness, self-control. We can have all those in our life. Or we can pander to our flesh and what we really want to make us happy and never have joy. But remembering that we have the Holy Spirit to help us, and he's got the power to help us if we ask him. And remembering that we've got each other. We have each other. We really are here to bless each other. In serving Jesus, we actually serve each other, because we do good to each other. We help each other. We restore each other in gentleness. Now that is walking by the Spirit. Tonight, we'll have a bit of a story from the Old Testament that you may never have really looked at or realized was there. But it's a story about a king who walked both ways, really. Anyway, you'll have to come tonight to find out about that one. But it's a great history lesson as well. So let's pray.